What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. This is Andy and Mike. You know, we're really excited to be back. And Mike, how are you doing today, man?
Good, good. We're chilling. You know, we got some preseason hoops finally happened, and Sekou got passed around again. I guess first, actually, thanks to Mo. That was really cool to chill out with him for a bit. If you haven't catched our last Sunday's podcast, Moda Keel of the Athletic / Bleacher Report was on there. He was a real good time and had some good stories. So if you missed that, definitely check it out. But yeah, we got a little overtime league. It looks like it's coming, becoming an actual thing potentially. At least they have one slate of games. Are you have you bought your package yet for opening weekend?
I have not bought a package, but it's definitely interesting to see the teams that they've got coming in to play that weekend in Atlanta. And that's October 29th at 5 p.m. and then Saturday, October 30th at 3 p.m. Those games. It's going to be three different teams. Mike, I'm pretty interested to see Vertical Academy, Calvary Christian, and Dr. Phillips High School here in Orlando. So it's got some good talent, you know. But they're, like we say, again, these are high school teams, you know. We figured, you know, I don't know what they were going to play against, but, I mean, I don't know if this was – necessarily the comp that they were hoping for, but it's still, you know, some great talent. So I'll be excited to see how these teams fare against them. What are your thoughts on this, on these games popping up?
Well, I'll definitely be trying to find some sort of stream. I don't know if you have to pay for like Overtime Elite's live stream thing or if it's going to be free to start out or what. But is Ernest Dr. Phillips, is that the top prospect probably that they'll be playing against?
I would say that for now, yeah, as far as notoriety and ranking goes, yeah, I would say Ernest is probably the highest ranked for Dr. Phillips. But I do know also, too, like they were mentioning Mikey Williams.
Oh, yeah. Wait, doesn't Mikey play for or he signed with OTE, right?
No.
Or is he on Dr. Phillips?
No. Mikey is he'd be with Vertical Academy.
Oh, nice. So I'll be curious to see. I mean, back-to-back games, three games each day. So I guess all three teams will be playing, you know, both days. They'll probably switch their matchups in terms of which Overtime Elite team they're playing. Mm-hmm. But it'll be curious definitely to see how they, like, you know, structure their rosters and split the folks up there. But, yeah, that's going to be at the end of the month, October 29th and 30th, like you said, right before Halloween or on Halloween weekend-ish. So yeah, I mean, they got one weekend on the books now. they don't have a full schedule yet, but it looks like they're going to kind of piece together as they go, kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, you can finally buy tickets. So check that out. OTE or OvertimeElite.com has that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the turnout fans wise. You know, if the attraction of, you know, the attention and the notoriety is there, you know, will, you know, some of these larger prep schools be interested in entertaining, you know, some sort of tournament where, you know, you just get to see the top teams compete for something. And maybe that would be a case if it makes sense revenue wise. But, you know, right now, I think it's going to still be tough for them to find the competition. But hey, man, might be a nice spot to meet. You know, it seems like halfway between Florida and South Carolina. Go check out some games in Atlanta, man. That weekend, I don't know, but
yeah, I think we're about 5 hours from Atlanta. So definitely make the trip eventually. I'm not going to be able to do that weekend, unfortunately, because I got family coming down, but they'll be on the radar. Plus I kind of want to see what happens. Exactly. I don't want to be at the first experiment. you know, but we'll see. I'm definitely curious to check out like the arena and the area around it. And you know, do some checking, sleuthing around over there. But yeah, it is going to be curious to see how many times they can bring in, you know, three high schools in a weekend and, you know, have games for their teams and stuff. Maybe they're working out. I mean, that's the thing too, is like we were talking about earlier, like, you know, the high school kids that they're playing against are getting paid, and it's not like they could, you know, like how in college football, they work out some sort of sweetener deal where it's like, you know, Alabama plays like some, you know, low level college team and, you know, pays them a couple hundred grand to just get the shit kicked out of them. and you know, the school agrees to it because of that, because of the money more than anything. and the experience and exposure for the kids, I guess, too. But they can't really do that with this league. So I'm curious how they're going to incentivize more schools to come in, and you know, what the other high school players that are going to be part of the OTE brand and getting exposure, but also, you know, OTE is going to try to make some money off of them without, you know, paying the opponent kind of thing. They'll be curious to see how that works out. They just give them, you know, gear or
t-shirts. I think OTE is, I think they're also using this as an opportunity to recruit, you know, because Ernest, you know, he's a player that is on their radar, and
yeah,
they have recruited, and he's got them on his top 10 list or whatever he's got left. So
that's tough though. Cause if they start having a reputation of like, oh, we invite your team to town so we can show off our setup to, you know, your best player. And then we snipe them the next year instead of them doing a PG year or something.
So yeah, that's why I say, like, are they using this as an opportunity to recruit guys? Like, you know, that's why I could see them playing some of these teams, you know, where they have players that they're actually looking to get. Now, the problem is for some of these high schools is like, well, why the hell would we do that if they're going to snipe the kid if he's not a senior? You know what I mean? Like, if he's a junior or a sophomore, he's a stud, and, you know, either way, you're going to lose him to the top prep schools. But nonetheless, it's like, you know, you're going there to, you know, essentially, you know, possibly lose him would be – I don't know if they would necessarily want to do that either. But I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. But, you know, I'm glad that the preseason started last night. So that was fun to watch a few of the highlights in the games that went on yesterday. Anything stand out for you that you liked? I know that those the Bulls had a decent showing, but
is there anybody? Yeah, I mean, it's tough with the, you know, the Bulls preseason schedule is pretty weak. They got like the Cavs a couple times, and they have the Grizzlies, I guess, at the end, but they also have the Pistons or someone stuck in there, now the Pelicans. So it's going to be tough to really tell, like, how good this, you know, his team is going to be, you know, at least with preseason, because the Cavs looked like a pretty JV roster out there. You know, they gave up 95 to them, but they scored 131. The whole, you know, starting five was all plus 30 and higher. Javonte Green was plus 30. Otherwise, it was like DeRozan plus 38, Vucevic plus 45. Like, they definitely, the starters played well in their 25-ish minutes play. But I mean, that's the thing too, is like, we know the starters are going to be pretty solid, and then the bench is going to be figuring it out as they go, yeah, kind of thing. Cause it's exactly, like, you know, you got Caruso off the bench, and then Stan Johnson. Is that who this says Johnson is? Do you guys have Stan Johnson? Dear, yeah. When the hell did you get Stanley Johnson?
That's a great question. That I
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, hey, a little reclamation project with him. I don't mind that.
He's got good length on the wing, defender. Got some NBA experience. So, I like some of the young guys. Like, I'm interested to see what Coby White's role is going to be like for next season. You know, as, you know, just as far as, you know, seeing him, you know, progress last year and how he finished the year, I was like, man, like, you know, I thought he would be a surefire starter for the Bulls, like, moving forward. And, you know,
yeah, and they got Dosunmu in there, who's like, you know, at least going to compete with him for minutes. Who knows if he'll steal many minutes from him as he's a little more established. But Dosunmu hasn't looked terrible either. He had a good first preseason appearance. I don't think Coby White played in that game, though.
No, I don't either. That's what I'm saying. I'm just like interested to see like what is going to progress with him. Like, is he going to be a guy that the Bulls look to, you know, keep around long term, or is it going to be a situation where eventually he moves on, you know, because he is a piece. I think he's a guy that can, you know, he can fill it up, man. Like, been proven to be able to do that in spurts. So it's just like, maybe he's a guy that they move, maybe, who knows, but I'm interested to see how that kind of plays out with all the guards that they've got right now, dude.
So yeah, I guess he's still rehabbing like a wrist. A wrist and shoulder injury kind of thing, I guess. And then Pat Williams was out too. I don't know what
do you think about Pat Williams? You like Pat Williams?
I love Pat Williams. I think he could be solid on like a team like this, where, like, you know, like, I didn't like him as like, oh, he's your second or third best player, and, you know, he's got all this pressure as a top pick kind of thing. But, you know, with a squad like this where he's just coming off the bench, he's just gotta be a giant athletic person and fill some fill some roles on defense and offense and not asked to do too much or, you know, grow too quick. Like, that's, I think, a perfect role for him, especially with the vets around him. But ankle injury right now, I guess, is why he's out for the preseason to start.
I think it would be great. I think it'll be great for him. And I think, too, like, if he just gets more active on the glass, man, I think that'll just be beneficial for him, too. You know, a lot of, I mean, dang, every time I watch him, dude, I just be watching him, like, around the perimeter. And I'm just like,
Yeah. Hopefully he, like, kind of has more of a power forward, like, great, like, grindy kind of a.
Yeah, like, go battle a little bit, cut, like, do something different. Just like, yeah, I just hope to see something on that. But who knows, you know, Billy Donovan, good coach, so hopefully we'll be able to, you know, put some guys in the right place. And, you know, like I said, in spurts last night, obviously it was cool to watch. But, yeah, you can't get too in love during this preseason time. So I'm looking forward to the start of the season. So
that's like a JV squad with the Cavs out there too. Like, they're going to struggle this year. Yeah. They're going to struggle to score. Everyone shot like 2 of 7 or worse.
We have the Bulls sent Markin in there. Poor dude. He was just getting abused yesterday. So
yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, no, marketing can't defend me, I don't think, at times, bro, like that guy. So I fell for him out there, man. He was there just was no help. The Cavs just looked hopeless the whole entire game. So that was pretty much that.
Yeah, this is going to be definitely like a potentially a turning point in marketing's career. Like, it's kind of log jammed over there. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley. Obviously, they're going to play Mobley a lot, and they just paid Allen, so they're going to play him a lot. Still have Kevin Love taking up some minutes. So Markkanen's going to be kind of the bench power forward ish, center ish.
Yeah. But
we'll see. We'll see how well that works out. Cause that's kind of a thing too, where it's like, you know, he would be better with better guys around him, but with, you know, a tough squad kind of around him, he might suffer efficiency wise and have to be trying to be doing too much when he is out there.
They're just, yeah, you're right too. They are big heavy. You know, so that it's going to be hard for him to find minutes unless he's able to stretch the floor, make a few shots. But then, we were saying before, is he better at guarding fives, even though his offensive game is more around the perimeter and able to do, you know, much more serviceable offensively, you know. So see what the Cavs do with him and if he actually can break through and play or if he'll be on the move again. Who knows, man. But he didn't look like – the Lauri Markkanen number 9 pick. So,
you know, Kemba in New York looked good though. I don't know if you caught any of that Knicks Pacers game. He was looking pretty healthy, and knees looked good for game one. That's kind of scary. if he ends up being good for New York and Fournier's cooking, they're going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that he's back and, you know, healthy, because that's the toughest thing with Kemba is, you know, the knees don't work. He can't be quick and shifty and all of that. So, and that's what made his game so elite. So it'll be great to see him back healthy. And yeah, I mean, heck, it'll just make the East even more competitive. So, you know, you got to love that. And, you know, unfortunately, if the Knicks are good, it seems like the whole East at that point then is good. If the Knicks are good. So then I'll have some fun watching the Eastern Conference playoffs. At least this year, it won't be just like, you know, where you feel like it's super top heavy. I think that this year it's going to be pretty competitive, and, you know, so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm happy Kemba's back, and I'm glad that Fournier's there. You know, it just makes the Knicks a tougher out, like, as far as like scoring wise, you know, it just adds to what they had last year. So it's good to hear, man. I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, that was the first game last night on Tuesday. It's Wednesday as we record this, but Knicks Pacers kicked it off, so I watched a bit of that, and he was moving around like he wasn't bothered too much, so that was good to see, but scary to see, because I don't want none of that with the Knicks. I don't want the Knicks to be that good. No offense, Sean. the Celtics got to take that slot this year as a middle-of-the-pack playoff team in the East. But speaking of the Seas, they looked – all right at times. Like, we really are relying upon the Jays to get a bucket right now. It looks like is going to be kind of the theme of the year, which I love that, you know, they were aggressive and it's their team now. But the defense didn't look great against the Magic. We barely won the game. We were down kind of the whole time until Romeo Langford hit a game winner. Mo Bamba had a nice game, which didn't think we'd be saying that in 2021, but he might have a resurgence. He looked solid out there. But that also might be product of us just having bad defense. And, you know, we're starting Juancho Hernangómez at the four. but we'll see. This lineup, I think, is going to be pretty fluid with, you know, the amount of pseudo depth we have, like Horford off the bench. I could see him definitely starting at some point. But yeah, did you catch your Magic almost upset in the season on Monday night?
I was able to catch a bit of it, man. And, you know, it's good to see. You know, but as far as scoring the ball, you know, that's where the Magic are going to have – I mean, they're just going to run into their struggles. You know, it's like Cole Anthony came off the bench and was a leading scorer with Mo Wagner. They each had 16 points. You know, it's nice to see Mo Wagner, you know, obviously, like, his game translate right away. You know, so I'm interested to see how he progresses. You know, I think he's going to be a really talented player moving forward. I think that was a really good get for the Magic. It's just, you know, Suggs, I like Suggs, but it's like, you know, who's going to start? Is it going to be Cole or him? And obviously it's like, you know, you got to decide, like, really, you know, and if I'm Cole Anthony, like, damn, I want to definitely start. And Cole, he had a pretty solid year last year for himself, at least as a rookie, you know, like, so
yeah.
I was happy to see what I saw, but like I said, the scoring, dude, is going to be a trip for them, man. I don't know how the hell they're going to score.
They got Terrence Ross and Gary Harris as kind of like the veteran wings that'll probably, be locks of starting all year. And then it's going to be either Suggs or Cole, like you're saying. Suggs kind of struggled at times against us. He didn't look as polished as I thought he was going to look in his first preseason game, but it's also, you know, first real NBA game, sort of real NBA game. so I could see Cole Anthony fitting in that kind of like off the bench scorer role too. Like
yeah.
Being a, you know, just come off the bench and jack shots with the second team because we don't have anyone else coming off the bench that's reliable. They also have Mo's brother Franz, which I'm guessing they did on purpose for like comfortability and, you know, hoping that they can develop best together, reuniting the brothers, the Wagner brothers. But Franz did not there was some talk before the draft that he was like 2 inches taller or whatever. He was like 6'10", 7 foot now. Mm-hmm. And B, like, he did not look like he was really ready to be out there a lot when I was watching. Every time, you know, obviously Tatum's tough to guard, but every time Tatum had him, it was like one dribble by you layup.
That's the thing, man. Like, these guys, you know, transitioning to the league, like being able to having to go from, you know, you got help side or whatever in college to none, and you're going against the best players in the world. You know, it's going to be tough. And that's where these guys, it's like, man, hopefully he can take what JJ Redick did, you know, and put it and apply it and figure out so he can make sure that he can play, because he's going to have to guard, you know, to be in his position to guard some of the best players, man. Like, it's hard to hide against the Celtics, man. Where do you hide him? Like, you can't. It's like, hey, well, you got to go guard Jaylen Brown then, like, you know what I mean? So it's just like,
yeah,
it'll be interesting though, man, like how coach, you know, deals with the rookies and getting these guys experience and, you know, going through the growing pains, because during the season, it's a whole nother ball game, you know? That is a great point, you know, defensively too, is where the hell
they have him listed as a small forward. There is no way in hell that he's going to be able to guard any small forwards in the league, at least this year. Like, just watching him the other night is like,
I say,
no chance.
And JJ Redick style, got to figure it out. And,
yeah,
you know, yeah, angles, do your work early. It's so hard, but it's like, you know, if you can have that type of mindset to do your work early as a defender and prepare, you can hide so many weaknesses. But if you don't do that work early and prepare and, like, you know, just small stuff, like getting ready for a down screen that's coming and, you know, getting, you know, on his outside hip or, you know, guarding it the way your coach wants you to guard it, and you start doing that early, you can handle the screen. You won't get caught through it, or a ball screen even, you know, just little stuff. But if, yeah, the closeouts, obviously, that's the hardest thing to deal with. But yeah, man, he's going to have to, you know, study that really, because that's the hardest part, is coming in here and being able to guard, man. So many guys just don't make it, can't guard.
Yeah, it's tough too, because that whole team kind of doesn't have great defensive guys on it. I mean, you got Bamba coming off the bench. It looks like Wendell Carter is going to be the starter at center there, which I love for him to get that kind of the potential opportunity there. But, you know, it's harder to be a good defender when you don't have good defenders around you too, especially with that help side like you're talking about. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Franz. But he's going to need at least a year to marinate. But we had only 10 minutes out of our boy Romeo Langford, and he was 2 of 6 in the box score, but he should have been 3 of 6 because one of his layups, the first layup he took, was a goaltend that just didn't get called. Like, it bounced off the backboard, and Mo Bamba smashed it like a whole second after it hit the glass. So he should have been 3 of 6 there with 9 points in 10 minutes, which I love the aggressiveness out of him. He hit both his threes, one of them a game winner, had the game winning steal. So that was good to see. Maybe Langford's ends up being a bench spark plug for us with Pritchard in the group.
Yeah, that's not a bad look at all, especially if he can kind of come on and come through. Cause yeah, I like Romeo Langford, man. He's a legit size, 6'6", right? Like,
yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah, he's a real big guard. And he can play some point. He just hasn't been healthy for a year, in like 5 years. Like, since he got to Indiana, he hasn't had a healthy season. So that's really, I think, it. If he can stay healthy, we'll see a huge growth out of him.
Definitely. That'd be nice, having that kind of pan out, man. A pick like that. Because, yeah, he has a lot of upside and he can definitely guard. So that's see how he kind of, you know, moves forward for the Celtics. Yeah, hell yeah, you definitely would want that, man. That's when the Seas are most successful. You know, they have guards that come in and can defend and back up their, you know, their studs. And that's when they, you know, have had a lot of success. I mean, that 2008 team had a lot of that.
Yeah, we got some depth this year. It almost feels like it was a few years ago where we have too many like decent players on the bench, because it's like, you go down this list, it's like Grant Williams probably needs minutes. Aaron Nesmith needs minutes. Horford needs minutes. Enes Kanter's going to get minutes. I don't think – I wouldn't say he needs minutes, but he's going to get minutes. Schroeder's obviously going to play a lot. Pritchard deserves some minutes. Josh Richardson, he played 24 minutes in our first preseason game, the most off the bench, which we'll see how much that holds up. But he's – you know, he deserves some minutes too. He's going to be good. Potentially, but it almost feels like we have too many guys out of rotation. But so it's going to be just kind of an experiment probably to start for Udoka in terms of rotation wise and who's getting the load off the bench, because you can't play 12 dudes forever. You got to find your top 8, top 10.
Facts. Now that's going to definitely be some experimenting, and a lot of these new coaches, you know, being in their first head coaching role too, it's going to be, you know, cool to watch how they progress and see how they manage these games and, you know, from the start to finish, because it's going to be a learning process, you know, for all of them. So definitely, I think you're going to see the Celtics lineups change a bit. I think you'll see, you know, the Magic, obviously, even, you know, the Bulls may be dealing with that, you know. But yeah, you know, especially these younger new coaches, I think they're going to be testing some stuff out early in the year. To see what they can do moving forward. So it'll be cool.
Yeah, I would put the Cavs and the Magic about a similar tier in terms of how good they are roster-wise. So don't feel great about barely squeaking out a W. Was thinking we were going to have more of a result like your Bulls did, 130-95. Like, but we couldn't score them. We were just giving up layups the whole first half. It was ugly defensively to start the game there. But they locked up a little bit in the second half there, which was good to see. We have 32 in the second quarter. You don't want to do that to a Magic team that's probably not going to score more than 30 in a quarter more than like 5 times the whole season. Yeah. But again, it's preseason, so this shit doesn't really count anyways. And also the schedule gods were weird. Like, yeah, we have the game on the 4th Monday and we don't play till Saturday the 9th. And I'm like, dude, like, just don't even start us till later in the week if that's the case. You're going to tease us with one game on Monday and then we don't have anything all week. That sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that is tough. There's going to be some decent games. Are you going to spend any time? Hopefully get to watch some tonight.
Yeah, Lakers got a game against the Suns. Magic Pellies is all Wednesday games, but Thursday we got your Bulls back on. No, Thursday, we don't have your Bulls. Your Bulls aren't until Friday. So Thursday, if you're listening to this on Thursday, they got Grizzlies, Hornets at 7, Raptors, Sixers at 7, and Heat Rockets at 10. So you know your favorite underground streaming services if you don't have cable like the rest of us. right. Cord cutters everywhere. But yeah, you guys got the Pelicans on Friday, so that should be interesting to see the Zion lineups.
Yeah.
Actually, no, is Zion even gonna – did he play in their first game?
No, I think he's hurt, right? But once he does come back, I mean, dude's going to be – he could be setting some career numbers this year. Just think with the guys moving on, he's going to – you don't have the ball in his hands a lot more. So just can't wait to see how he goes. I wonder
how deep into this season that right foot surgery is going to end up cutting off season-wise.
Yeah,
they're gonna suck if they don't have him to start the year. They're gonna be brutal.
Be very good.
Like you're starting Garrett Temple, Willie Hernan Gomez, Devontae Graham. Like those are gonna be starters on your team. That's rough.
Yeah.
You know, How annoying is it that every time you open up a window on ESPN, they just decide to start playing whatever video is on that window, and it's always in, like, some random spot.
You can't see, right?
They're just fucking running up the score, gaming every view algorithm they can by just auto-playing every freaking video on their page every time. And every page has a video on it with an ad. Yeah. What the hell?
Oh,
sick of ESPN.
Ah, dude. Honestly, it's been hard to I haven't even really gotten a chance to watch ESPN much anymore.
No cable.
Yeah, it's brutal. But
Stream's got an ESPN feed. I don't see ESPN anymore. But, I mean, SportsCenter and all that shit ain't the same anyways. It's all freaking, you know, First Take or whatever, Part of My Interruption, and all the talk shows all day now. So
it is a fact.
Like MTV stopped playing music videos. They stopped playing sports highlights. Did you see one of my favorite sleepers of Sekou Doumbouya got traded again?
Goodness. Where did they send him?
So the Nets sent him over to Houston. Yeah, he was the 15th overall pick a couple of years ago in 2019. He went from longest tenured Piston to traded by the Pistons to the Nets. And then as part of that, that was part of that DeAndre Jordan salary dump play.
Gotcha.
And then they just sent him to Houston with a second round pick, part of the three-team trade, just trying another salary, kind of like avoiding luxury tax kind of play. And it looks like the Rockets plan to release him. So I don't know what the heck comes next for Doumbouya. I mean, I'm guessing somebody's going to pick him up, because otherwise it's like, how does a guy go from 15th pick to
I don't understand. Like,
out of the league that fast. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he still has, you know, certainly some ceiling left. He's a kid. He's like 21. So I wouldn't mind the Celtics. I mean, like I was just saying, we got a lot of depth, so we don't really need him to be playing him. But it's just like a long-term project to scoop him up, stuff him on the bench. But I don't think we have any contracts left anyways. It's weird, too. It's tough timing because, like, how many teams even have slots left?
Yeah, that's why I just don't understand, like, what their point was in drafting the kid. I mean, like.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they fell out of favor with him so fast for some reason. I don't trust the Pistons to do shit right, though. So
me either. Oh my gosh,
they got an interesting group, and I thought Sekou was gonna be a key part of that kind of young core coming up, and they're just like, see ya. But we'll see. What was the Simmons thing?
They're just not going to pay. They didn't pay Simmons. They put
two. Yeah, Benjamin's going to end up in court. Hold on. There was some let me bring it up. Okay, so the Simmons thing, I guess they decided to – the Sixers essentially declared war with the whole Simmons situation with this move. Because like we were talking about last week, like he was due like 50% of his contract over the next 2 weeks of, you know, preseason time. So it was going to be like $8.25 million each of the this past Friday and then this coming Friday. And instead of paying him, they put it in an escrow account. The Sixers put that money into an escrow account. And now they're just going to fine him out of that escrow account. So they're like, you can't even have this money. We're going to slowly chip away at it until you show up. And then maybe we'll give you what's left. So that's, I don't know how they get away with that, but it feels like something where there's going to be some sort of court battle eventually with this contract situation and this trade situation or whatever they end up doing. But it's just getting messier and messier in Philly.
Yeah, that is a mess, man. And especially for him not getting that payment like I'm sure he thought he would. You know, obviously us, you know, our direct deposit doesn't go through. We feel that. But I mean, I'm sure if $8.2 million was supposed to hit your account and it doesn't, I'm sure he's probably a little concerned with that. So yeah, that's how this is going to play out. It's going to be interesting, you know. Just obviously there was bad blood that, you know, the Sixers, you know, they may have known, may have not have known, whatever, but now I think they're doing things to spite him, and this is going to get really messy. So it makes for some good drama for us to watch, I guess, but it's it does suck. You know, it's happening to somebody that, you know, you just would rather see out there playing, you know, and impacting and doing the thing that he loves to do. It's just unfortunate that, you know, both sides obviously can't see eye to eye and won't see eye to eye. And so now it's just going to become a power struggle, like a bad girlfriend.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. I mean, the excuses coming out are kind of funny. Like, I mean, obviously Embiid defended him at one point. Then most recently, Simmons said, you know, oh, well, it wasn't built around me the right way, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's always been built around Joel, and kind of thrown him under the bus for his own struggles. And Joel in his next, like, talk with the media was, like, essentially threw Ben under the bus. Like, no, the reason we got rid of Jimmy was because of him. He needed the ball more. The reason we brought in Al was because of him, because we needed more shooters around him that were big men. And so it seems like that relationship's kind of broken down too. It's not going well in Philly land, which.
Yeah. Well, I guess this just shows us that tanking is something you should never waste your time doing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they fucked that up left and right. And they gotta really trade him. Cause it's like, you know, if he's just going to sit out, like, they're going to be so bad. They're going to be just struggling for ball handling and playmaking.
Dude, yeah, that's their main thing. They brought a bunch of players around him that, you know, catch, shoot it, defend, whatever, long, you know, need somebody to create for them, though. So if Embiid, like, he can create, but he doesn't pass. So, the Sixers are going to – I mean, Doc Rivers, I mean, what the heck are you going to be able to do? And hopefully you can, you know, talk the Sixers into being like, all right, let's figure out a way to trade him so we can get something for him. We'll see if even the rest of the league wants to deal with it. Who knows, man? Do you think he plays a game this year?
I mean, I would think so. I would think he wants to, you know, get paid to play basketball this year, but – I don't think he'll play for Philly. So I think if Philly kind of just stays pat and doesn't move him, like, maybe not. Like, maybe that actually doesn't happen. But yeah, they looked rough without him. So I mean, they gotta figure out something, because games are coming in hot. First game's the 19th. I think their first game's like the 20th or 21st. Like you said, you're going into the season with Seth Curry, Tyrese Maxey, and Shake Milton as kind of your ball handlers, and hoping for the best. Which, I mean, with a team that was the number one seed last year, and, you know, has title aspirations in a closing window with Embiid, and, you know, brought in Drummond and all that, like, they gotta do something.
Hell yeah, it's gonna be. I feel for those guys, man. That's tough. Really is.
Yeah. But it's Philly. They'll have plenty of fun, even if it's shitting on their team all year. They'll find a way to have fun with it. But yeah, we did a little preseason debuting, starting back up basketball again, Twitter giveaway, 200 follower giveaway thing. So we got that's been up for about a week now. So I guess we got to pick a winner out of this. I'm just going to flip my phone back and forth and click on a random profile. And it looks like at LL Cool A60, Lori and G will be getting the pile of stuff. So we got the sticker there, the old logo that can't be reprinted because it's been DMCA'd. So we got that one sticker printed out, and then it got deleted. A couple of cards and Jason Tatum and Steph Curry in their college days. Tatum at Duke, Curry at Davidson, obviously. And then a t-shirt, the new logos t-shirt. So we'll hit up Lorianne in the DM and send out some stuff to her. So congrats.
Congratulations, man.
Hopefully you enjoy what we got coming your way. But
sure.
Yeah. Thanks for all who participated. But Lori, I guess, is taking the crown for the first one. Hopefully we'll do something again around like All-Star break or something like that. Who knows? But we'll see. But we got Emil Clayton coming up this weekend.
Yeah, no, looking forward to that one. That'll be, you guys will really like that. He's got some great stories, and he does a great job too, just sharing the pieces of it. I thought that was really cool to kind of, you could actually kind of picture some of it. That was a really cool thing about his story last night. And the culture of the game in Chicago too. He did a great job talking about that, man. So I'm looking forward to everybody hearing it and, letting us know what they think,
Yeah, Emil's a talented guy who's done a lot with the game on and off the court. He's a Chicago, classic Chicago point guard coming up out of King College Prep. He had a good high school career there and went to a few different colleges to play, played a little bit of pro ball. And when he wasn't getting what he deserved out of the game anymore pro wise, he decided to spin off into an events company called E. Clayton Events. Definitely check that out on Instagram. And he's got he played for Derrick Rose's AU team, and he's buddies with a lot of the guys out of Chicago who play for the Bulls and that he grew up playing with. So he runs an events company now and does some financial services, life insurance stuff, investing stuff. Some pros out there and stuff. And so it's pretty cool to see what he's done since his pro career didn't get to exactly where we were all hoping he was going, but he seemed to have pivoted really well and is having a lot of fun with it. So if you're in Chicago, definitely check out what he's got going on over there. He's also got a pro-am league starting up, which I think is a great idea. Like everyone knows that like Seattle pro-ams and the Los Angeles pro-ams, New York pro-ams, Chicago hasn't really had a big pro-am, I guess, in a while. So he's hoping to get that started up this summer. COVID unfortunately derailed it the last couple of years, but definitely cool to see him, doing his thing and getting the most out of the game and also giving back to the game in a bunch of different ways. And definitely check that out this Sunday. He's got some awesome stories from his time hooping and having fun with it. So
for sure. No, it's good. It is a good one. And so to anybody from, Illinois, and you played, you'll know him, Emil. Especially during that time, he graduated 2009, but anybody in that time and you played against him, you'll remember him. And I'm looking forward to seeing that too. If it gets in the hands of, some other Chicago basketball players, it'd be cool to hear some of the stories of the games as well. He shared a few of them, but I know that there was a lot of good teams during those times. So it'll be pretty cool to see kind of some of the reaction with some people, because I know that he'll be able to share it with a decent amount. And I'm interested to see, man. Hopefully it sparks some good stories and things like that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And one last one, I guess. Pau Gasol called it quits today. This Wednesday, as we recorded a few hours ago, I guess maybe late last night, he hung it up. What I know you guys had him at the end of your career with the Bulls, but he was most recently with Barcelona last year. But Pau was obviously a big part of those Lakers runs against the season stuff. Might have gotten robbed of a Finals MVP, some say, in 2010. But, you know, obviously Kobe earned it in his own right, too, with putting up crazy numbers. But Powell was a problem. He was, like, practically getting 20-20 every game, too. So,
yeah, no, shout out to Pau Gasol, man. Phenomenal career, multiple, two-time NBA champion, you know, so – it's crazy because of, you know, that 2010 play, like you were saying, you know, just watching how much he kind of came into that role and accepting the fact like, okay, hey, I'm going to run with Kobe. Like, I'm really going to embrace this stuff. And I think that with that part and that adjustment in his career, and obviously those guys were best, really good friends, you know, so it goes to show like, you know, even how his career was, always a super talented player, but it just seemed like during those few years, he like really changed his mindset. And, you know, like you say, he might have got robbed, but like, you know, it's cool to see, you know, his career and, you know, how he's able to do it and leave it on his own terms. And, you know, I'm really happy for that. And, you know, hell, it was great to watch him when he was at his best. Obviously the Bulls time, you know, obviously I wish it was, you know, like he was with the Lakers, but, you know, that's too much to ask. And, you know, but, yeah, no, shout out to Pau Gasol, man. Great career. And, you know, true. I think he's going to be an ambassador for the game, like continue to be.
Yeah, definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, like you were saying, he was good pals with Kobe. You know, obviously the Spain, European connection, you know, speaking different languages and stuff with him. But also, you know, it's great to see like how he's kind of been a part of their family. Like after Kobe and Gigi's passing, he's, you know, always hanging out on the holidays with them, which is good to see for sure. So yeah, definitely salute to Pau. He'll be first ballot Hall of Famer, probably coaching maybe somewhere someday, might even be the Spain national team, who knows, because he was
gonna see him again.
Spain lifer. He played how many Olympics did he end up playing in? I feel like he's been in the Olympics like
my whole life, man. Straight up, it really does feel that way. But it's to see him, you know, he started his career at what, like he was like 18-19, you know, like right,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, so, he was young,
played 20 years. It's, you know, only a few guys have been able to, you know, stick around in the league for that long and make such an impact. So that's, it's actually crazy. I could never think, like, it's hard for me to think about doing anything for 20 years, you know, like what I mean? Like,
right. It's cool to see that he went back to Spain. You know, obviously he wasn't quite NBA caliber anymore. He was washed a little bit and he was 40. You know, playing in Spain for his last hurrah is kind of a cool idea. Do that last victory lap at home and, you know, do his thing over there. Kobe with the Finals MVP, 28.6, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 41 minutes. And Pau was 19 points, 11 and a half boards and 4 assists in 42 minutes. Like that's, they carried that team. I just remember those finals being like, okay, if it's not Pau murdering us, it's Kobe murdering us. This is brutal. kind of glad to see him go. No, but he's always been a you know, upstanding good dude, good player. So, you know, it'll be fun to see what his Hall of Fame speech is whenever the heck he gets in, which was it 5 years for NBA, right? He had 5 years out the league.
Yeah.
So 2026 pretty much can book it.
Good one. But,
yeah. So we'll send that over to Lori. Tune in for a meal this weekend, but that'll do it for Thursday.
Guys, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And, you know, thanks for tuning in. Please, you know, in the comments, like, share, subscribe for us, man. It really helps us. And it just helps so that we can, you know, keep putting this out. And making sure that, you know, we're able to do even deeper dives into some things, you know, if we have a little more time and things of that nature. But that, it just helps us. So if you guys wouldn't mind doing that, and then we'll see you guys, you know, next week. And yeah, make sure you guys check out Emil's interview on Sunday, and have a great rest of the week, man. Keep making money.
We'll do our best.